passion reading for today comes from Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priest accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison, who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him, and they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. Here ends our reading. We use the word, or the adjective worldly, in two different but related ways. Webster's dictionary identifies these as having a lot of practical experience and knowledge about life and the world. And the second one is of or relating to a human world and ordinary life rather than to religious and spiritual matters. In our passion reading today, we see both senses. As Pontius Pilate, the Jewish chief priest and crowd, and the Roman soldiers look at Jesus through their worldly eyes. In the Roman Empire, you didn't rise to levels that Pilate had risen to without being worldly wise. As a governor, everything boils down to convincing the emperor of your ongoing worth. So above all, you must look out for number one, not for other people. Pilate was a man with worldly desires and ambitions. Pilate also was worldly in the sense of not personally caring about religious matters so much, as is evidenced by his missteps with the Jewish people in mingling the funds from the temple and the Roman funds to pay for an aquifer to be built the insurrection that Barabbas was probably part of. And then he also had a shield on the back of his wall as you came into his office, and on the edges of the shield, on the outer edges of the shield, it was in honor of Tiberius Caesar, which the Jews went bananas over because they said it was making an idol and having another god. And Pilate would have just recently received a letter from Caesar telling him, "One more mistake with these Jewish people and you will be no service to Rome," which was a nice way of saying, not that he would lose office, but that he would lose life. This made the large population of highly religious Jews a major thorn in Pontius Pilate's flesh. So when it comes to the trial of Jesus, it appears that he thought Jesus was innocent based on his own investigations and the warnings from his wife's mysterious dream. But Pilate's concern for his own head won out. His religious skepticism is on full display when he asks Jesus, "What is truth?" Thus rejecting the beaten and bloodied truth standing right there in front of him. And his pragmatism toward worldly affairs is evidenced by granting to the loud Jews the execution of Jesus while wicked Barabbas went free. The leader of the Jews had worldly eyes as well. The Sadducees saw, well, the popularity of Jesus as a threat to them. The power they enjoyed through compromise with the Romans and their for-profit sacrificial system that they had established. And the Pharisees saw Jesus as a competitor to their own religious influence and as an opponent of their legalistic theology. So the worldly Jewish leaders stirred up the crowd to demand the crucifixion of Jesus, who is getting in their way. Finally, the Roman soldiers had worldly eyes as well. They knew a king when they saw one, and Jesus was the opposite of what they saw. He wasn't royalty. Many had seen Caesar himself. Others had seen kings of the East during military campaigns. Still others could envision with their own mind's eye what a glorious king might look like with his pomp and circumstance. But this Jewish carpenter's kid, beaten and bloody and wearing a crown of thorns, you've got to be kidding me. That's no king. Their bowing down and praising Jesus was all in mockery. Hail, King of the Jews! Ironically, Pilate and the soldiers got it right, though. Regardless of what was in their hearts, they correctly called Jesus the King of the Jews. That is, the eternal Messiah promised since the fall of Adam and Eve, the one promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to Moses and David, and to all the chosen people of Israel. But as Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." Rather, he came into this world from heaven to bear witness to the truth, for he himself is truth. Here is the truth. Jesus was and is a king, but not a worldly one, but the heavenly, divine king, God, the Son in flesh. And well, the way of the world is to look for power and glory in rulers, the true God glories in suffering and a cross. And he manifests his power to save in the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Think about that. My ways are not your ways. Crucify him, cried the crowd. And yet the Father is at the same time saying, crucify him. Crucify me, cried the obedient Son, for the Father's will must be done. St. John said in our epistle, whoever does the will of God abides forever. And this first and foremost refers to Jesus himself. He came from heaven to do our Father's will, to draw all mankind to himself on the cross, bearing the sins of the masses, dying for the life of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so to reconcile the whole world to himself, not counting men's trespasses against them, the plan is set forth. You see, his death was for you, and it was for the entire world. He is the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist had proclaimed so many years earlier, who takes away the sin of the world. And if your worldly sins were on him on the cross, then I have good news for you. Then they are no longer on you. If your sins are placed on him through baptism, removed for the proclamation of absolution, forgiven in the Lord's Supper, then they most certainly must not continue to weigh you down in guilt and shame. But you should consider them to be as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again, drowned in the depths of the sea, actually as if they no longer are even in the world, because that's the truth of the gospel. In Christ, you and I have been set free from sin, from death, and from hell. And all you have to look forward to is eternal righteousness, everlasting life, and the resurrection in a godly heavenly kingdom. And as Jesus says, his kingdom is not of this world. So you are called not to be worldly in your mindset, but to be heavenly in that mindset. St. Paul writes so wonderfully to those baptized in Christ's death and resurrection when he writes in Colossians 3, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And Jesus prayed to the Father for you on the night that he was betrayed. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Satan, the evil one, would lead you to share the worldly postmodern viewpoints expressed by Pilate. What is truth? This religious skepticism leads people to despair, which leads to either desire to get out of this apparently God-forsaken world through suicide, or to extreme worldliness. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. That seems to fit the mantra that we have going on in this world today. But not you. You know the truth about the world. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, and pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And this is God's will: to embrace the truth of the cross, by which the world has been crucified to you and you to the world. This is God's saving way. No matter what your worldly status is in this fallen creation, as St. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in his first letter, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you are wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, who the world cried out, crucify, and who the angels cried out, he's not here, for he has risen just as he said, and who we cry out, thanks be to God that he saves us.' In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.